The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
Okay, last word on sport time. Gavin Casey, sports writer with the42.ie. Let's move to a different boxing controversy to the one we were discussing earlier in the programme. Was Dana Morehouse, the Irish boxer, cheated at the Olympics last night?
Yes, I think she was, Matt. I thought it was a scandalous decision, and it was interesting to get a little bit of feedback from French sports media colleagues who I'd know through rugby who shared that sentiment. A couple of screenshots of Thierry Henry's handball sent in my direction as well in jest, which kind of sums it all up. And I have to say, the judging at the competition across the board has been woeful. But when you see it happen in those circumstances against a French boxer, Wasila El Khadiri, who is obviously not to blame, you can't help but wonder if Ken Egan was onto something on RTE when he posed the question as to whether the result may have been preordained. And look, people will hear that and take it to mean that there's a brown envelope being passed along the background there somewhere. I don't really see it that way ever with boxing judging. I always think of it more as being a kind of a soft influence that either consciously or unconsciously imposes some kind of bias on judges. And when you're in the host nation and they're taking you out for dinner and you're being looked after, maybe you have this kind of a subconscious bias towards the home fighter. But there was no question in my mind, there was no question in the mind of anybody with a pair of functioning eyes, really, Matt, that Dana Morehouse won that fight and she was robbed of an Olympic dream.
Okay, but for those who didn't see the fight last night or who don't know how boxing is marked, explain why it is that everyone was so outraged. What happened in the fight that to your mind made it obvious she had won?
The most pertinent point, Matt, would be that El Khadiri barely landed a shot in anger, really, across the three rounds. Now, these weren't three rounds in which Dana Morehouse went through El Khadiri like a buzzsaw and absolutely dominated her from pillar to post. These were pretty close rounds, in all honesty. All three of them were relatively close, but all three of them, I would have said, were won decidedly, ultimately, by the woman in blue, who was Dana Morehouse. And the reason why she won them, to my mind, was that she just landed the cleaner shots, the more eye-catching shots, or the shots that should have been, at least, more eye-catching. She wobbled El Khadiri a couple of times. The only boxer out of the two of them who was looking over to their corner with a panicked expression trying to figure out where they go next was El Khadiri. The only boxer who got the stanky leg, as it's called, or had a little bit of a wobble by a shot from their opponent was El Khadiri. And Morehouse, to my mind, was just the better boxer across the 9 minutes. And for a Canadian judge in particular to score all three rounds to El Khadiri, it stinks. And you heard Zori Antia say afterwards, when he saw that Morehouse had won the first round on only three of the five judges' scorecards, he knew something was up, or he suspected it at the very least. And I have to say, I had a similar impression.
There's no appeal mechanism, is there, in boxing at the Olympics?
Unfortunately not. It's take it on the chin and move on. And the tragedy in that is that you have a 22-year-old woman from Bray who has worked towards this for her whole life. I interviewed Dana Morehouse for the first time when she was 15 years old, when she was a prodigy in Irish boxing circles. And certainly the last 3 years as a senior, she's been working tirelessly towards this. And the reality is she should be boxing for a medal in her next bout. And instead, she'll be cheering on Kelly Harrington and her own competition is finished. And it is a disgrace. It's a disgrace on behalf of the judges who robbed her. It's a disgrace on behalf of the IOC who have organized the competition, who have put these judges in place. And it does call into question the sport's future, I think, when you see decisions like this.
But it's hardly the first time, Gavin, isn't it? We've had this in previous Olympic Games as well.
We certainly have, going back to, all through them, Matt, among the most famous was Roy Jones' robbery in 88 in Seoul, and we've had more recently, within an Irish context, Michael Conlon against Vladimir Nikitin, about the result of which was proven to be unjust subsequently, following an investigation, among many others at the Rio Olympics, I should add. But look, I think when the sport is in such an uncertain position in general, because of its governance or lack thereof, as the IOC see it, and where it's not actually included on the slate of sports for LA 2028, when you see really a plethora of decisions like these across these games this summer, it kind of begs two questions. One, what's the point of actually including this sport at the Olympics when all it seems to yield is controversy? Number two, if you're a kid in a boxing club, is the Olympics going to remain the pinnacle of your career, of your life, towards which you're building? Possibly not when it continues in this vein.
But then I suppose if they don't have the Olympics, what else do they have to aim for?
And that's exactly it, because the reflexive response to something last night, Matt, and I saw it on Twitter from Irish people, from other people, is let's just bin this off. Amateur boxing is not worth it. It's not worth the frustration. It's not worth the scandal. It's not worth the blind robberies that we're witnessing so often in recent games. But to take it away, to bin it, is really only to punish the athletes, isn't it? And when it is such a centerpiece of the sport, and I would say when the sport itself is such a centerpiece of the Olympic Games, I would hope that there is a solution to be found, be it a change in the judging system, the scoring system, be it better governance. Obviously, there will be efforts among several countries to break away from IBA. They already have done so, that the kind of Russian-backed governing body, and set up their own one in time for LA, which would salvage the sport. So, look, 4 years is a long time as well, or maybe about 2.5 before the final decision is made. I hope that some kind of a solution can be found that would save the sport. But it needs to be improved on an infrastructural level at the very least.
Has it been a disappointing Olympic Games though for Irish boxing? Yes, Kelly Harrington is guaranteed at least a bronze. She might do better. But other than that, given, what was it, 10 boxers we sent, have they done as well as we might have hoped?
No, and it's not to point the finger at any individual boxer, but I think the numbers speak for themselves, Matt. Like a team of 10 boxers to go over there, a lot of medal winners, a lot of excellent young talents, and to return home with only one medal, the colour of which is yet to be determined, is a poor return. I would have said going over there that 3 or 4 medals would be par to very good. And I'd have to question probably a couple of the... Listen, you can easily question some of the performances. You have to understand, obviously, these are unbelievably tough fights and things can go wrong on the day, but some of the first-timers, I think of Gráinne Walsh, who's done unbelievably well to get there, and it's probably been difficult for her in that she had to peak athletically about 4 times in the last 12 months in order to get there. But, you know, I just would have thought she might perform better on the day, and she was unlucky as well with somebody officiating. The same with Aoife O'Rourke, 4-time European champion, going out at the first time of asking. It doesn't really sit well with me, and there will be questions afterwards, no doubt about it. I think one medal from that team is a poor return, ultimately.
Now, the big controversy is something we discussed with Kieran Cunningham and Adele Coffier earlier, and of course that has had a twist today in that we have an apology from the Italian boxer Angela Carini to her Algerian opponent Iman Khalif. And it's quite clear that Algeria's Iman Khalif, despite the efforts of social media warriors to spread misinformation, is genetically a woman. But the question is coming up about safety in boxing. Obviously, women fight each other in the assigned weight grades. But what about situations where a woman may have a certain chromosome mix, which could perhaps potentially make her stronger? Although in this case, clearly Iman Khalif not, given that she was beaten by Kelly Harrington 3 years ago and has been beaten by others on many occasions.
I draw a distinction immediately before I continue, which is that, of course, it is a legitimate concern to have somebody with a slightly different genetic makeup to what might be considered a conventional woman competing alongside women in a sport in which two athletes are punching each other in the head. As you point out, the distinction with Khalif is that she was born female. She is not a trans athlete. There are literally no trans athletes at these Olympic Games.
And sorry, that needs to be emphasised, Gavin, because there are people who are putting the lies around that there are.
Exactly. If you were scrolling through Twitter at midday yesterday, you would have sworn this was literally a biological man who was in the ring ploughing her way through the women's welterweight division at the Olympics, and it's simply not the case. Iman Khalif has been boxing at around this level. She hasn't quite gotten to the very top of world level, but she's been flirting with it over the last 5-6 years. As you mentioned, Kelly Harrington beat her at the Tokyo Olympics. Amy Broadhurst beat her in the 2022 World Championship final. Those were at 60kg and 63kg respectively. She's at 66 now. It may be the case that her physical frame is better suited to 66. Maybe she is a little bit stronger, etc., than she was at the lower weights. That can happen to literally anybody. I've found the discourse around it to be look, frankly, disgraceful in a lot of ways, while also being cognizant of the fact that there is, of course, a legitimate concern for the safety of women. And particularly if you were to pick up this story in isolation with no further knowledge of the nuance around it, and if you were to take some of the tweets or some of the poor reporting on it at face value, and you thought there was a man in there just beating the hell out of an Italian woman who had to quit with a bloody nose, etc., you know, that seems obviously unbelievably unpalatable and dangerous. It's just when you look into it and understand the context in which we're dealing here with Khalif specifically, She is not a particularly powerful boxer. She's not a knockout artist. She hasn't been like a buzzsaw going through the female ranks over the last few years. She has a tiny knockout percentage, and she's been soundly beaten by several female athletes over the years, many of whom have come out in support of her in the last 24 hours.
Indeed, Amy Broadhurst from one of those as well. And as Kieran Cunningham was pointing out as well, there have been deliberately falsified quotes attributed to Kelly Harrington, who said she wouldn't fight her. And the thing is, Kelly Harrington did fight her 3 years ago and beat her.
That's exactly it. Listen, it's a different conversation or one for another day. The kind of dangers of the echo chamber that is X.com, as it's known now. I thought it was interesting even to observe the algorithm as it is yesterday, where when this became the biggest story on the planet, and that's really what it felt like, certainly in the sporting world, the initial sentiment almost universally on my timeline was that this is an absolute and utter disgrace. This is a man, in some cases, being depicted as almost an evil man who was taking joy out of beating women. And you're seeing images of Khalif sort of framed in such a way that it almost feels ominous. And like, understanding Khalif's career so far as I do, obviously I see through that, but if you're completely unfamiliar with it and you take it at face value, of course you're going to think this is the worst thing ever. But then you swing towards the evening time and people are starting to pump the brakes, and a lot of massive figures with massive followings and cultural influence around the world are posting second tweets on the topic saying, actually, I think I got this wrong. It turns out she was born female and almost trying to rectify the damage they had done earlier in the day. So when you really strip it all back, there's a human being at the center of this who has, at least for 24 hours, been a hate figure in a lot of corners of the globe through no fault of her own. Whether or not you believe she should be competing based on a kind of a genetic irregularity is almost besides the point to a degree, because she's there under the provisions provided by the IOC as things stand. But like, the humanity was lost in it as far as I was concerned. And I'm glad that Angela Carini has come out and apologized. It'll be interesting to see if she says anything further. But look, Iman Khalif will continue in the Olympic Games, and the conversation won't go away is the only thing to point out, because as I say, whatever about Khalif, this is a concern and has been for the last 2-3 years. It's not a black and white situation. It's a very difficult thing to be completely correct about, I think.
Thank you very much, Gavin Casey from the42.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.